Let's stand. You. And I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And anytime I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. Is that your prayer? Let's sing it again. Will I cast all my cares upon you? And I lay all of my burdens down at your feet. And any time I don't know just what to do, I will cast all my cares upon you. In moments like these, I sing out a song. Will I sing out a love song to Jesus? And in moments like these, I lift up, amen, my hands, and I sing out a love song to Him. Don't you love Him tonight? Amen. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, chorus again, singing, I love you. Singing, I love, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, my Lord. Jehovah Jireh, will my provider. Oh, you are more than enough for me, Jehovah Rapha. Yes, you're my healer, and by your stripes I have been, oh, set free. Sing it again. Jehovah Jireh, will my, you're our provider. You are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer, and by your stripes I have been, oh, set free. Amen. Give me, Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. And when I am in prayer, oh, when I am in prayer, yes, when I am in prayer, oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Now when I come to die, oh, when I come to die, yes, when I come to die, oh, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Let's sing the chorus one more time. Give me Jesus. Well, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Amen. You can have all this world, but give me Jesus. Amen. I want to welcome each and every one of you here this evening, our regulars and all of our visitors, which we have a lot of them. So we want to welcome all of you here with us. We're going to open the service in a word of prayer. We're going to take some needs before the altar. Brother Bill, if you could play It Is No Secret. We're going to ask Brother Timothy Pruitt to come and take these needs before the Lord tonight. Open the service in a word of prayer. We have a unspoken just sent in, so we want to remember that. We want to continue to remember the Franklins that are going to be driving out this week from Arizona. We want to continue to remember the Irishes that are away. We want to remember the Javed family that's away up in New York. Just ask that you continue to remember my daughter in prayer who's at homesick today. And Brother Josh put in a prayer request for Billy Godwin with a stomach infection. So we want to remember that. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, just raise your hand. Aren't you thankful there's a God that meets our needs? Amen. Brother Timothy.
Let's just bow our heads together. Father God, we're so thankful we can come to you tonight, Lord. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, you're God and you change not. See the needs in our lives, the hands that were lifted across this building, Lord. The needs that were read across this desk, Lord. We ask, Father, that you'd go to each and every heart. You touch each and every life, Father. We have need of you tonight, Lord. We're here one more time, not together as just people and see each other, say hello, or have fellowship together. But, Lord, we want to have communion with you, Lord. We want you to speak to our hearts and to our lives, Lord. Ask God that you'd come tonight and anoint this service, Father. Lord, you anoint our brother Wayne, Lord, to speak the word tonight, Father. Not only anoint him, but Lord, take the weariness out of our bodies and anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive, we pray. Bless each home that's represented, each family, Lord, each heart. God, we ask, Lord, for these different needs that you just go to the places where they're at, where they're traveling, at home, sick, whatever it is, God. You're mindful of that, Lord. And you said in your word, by your stripes, they're healed. And we just claim the promises of God tonight. Bless your people once again, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
What God can do. Let's sing it together. Well, it is no secret, oh, what God can do, what He's done for others, He will do for you. With arms wide open, amen. Turn and shake hands with those that are around you. Welcome them to the service. And you may have your seats.
We know what they're like traveling on.
Amen. Feel like traveling on?
Amen.
Amen. Do you feel like traveling on?
Amen.
Amen. Well, my heavenly home is bright and fair. And I feel like traveling on. No pain nor death can enter there. And I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. Well, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright. Sun outshine, I feel like traveling on. That heavenly mansion shall be mine. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Will I feel like traveling on?
I feel like traveling.
how the Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on until that blessed home I see. I feel like traveling on. Oh, yes, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright. We're going to ask Sister Sarah Coffey, Sister Sarah Vasaki, and Sister Kristen to come and make their way up to sing a special for us. And while they're doing it, let's sing that chorus one more time. Well, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright. I feel like traveling on.
Wonder.
Amen. Let's stand. We're going to ask our ushers to come forth at this time. Amen. Enjoyed that?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Mike, could you ask the blessing on the offering? Amen. Something keeps holding me. Aren't you thankful something keeps holding you? Amen. No matter what's going on in this world, and it's getting crazier and crazier by the day. Amen. There's something that's holding us. Amen. The trial of this world was getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could bear. Well, and I was on the verge of giving over. Well, the strength within myself just wasn't there. Amen. Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Well, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Yes, He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Now Satan laid before me his temptation. Well, and his desire to steal away my faith. I have found inside the revelation. Well, the strength I need to keep me in this grace. Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see He's helping me faithfully to overcome my trials. Well, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. Yes, He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Let's sing it again. Something keeps holding me. Oh, something keeps holding me.
Every day I see helping me faithfully overcome my holding me. I know the author of this song, and I know what kind of trials he was going through that inspired him to write this. And sometimes that's exactly what it takes, is those kinds of trials we go through in life. Deep trials sometimes that bring out songs that are so beautiful like this. But this author, he was going through a very difficult time. If you just flip to verse 2 there, he said, Satan laid before me in his temptation. Laid before me his temptation, and his desire was to steal away my faith. And the author, I don't know if you know who the author is. This is Brother Paul LaFontaine. And he went through this real valley and this struggle during that time of his life. And he was a single man. He was helping to pastor a church up there in Toledo, Ohio, which he is still pastor of the church. But in that time, he found a revelation. And God really dealt with him. And God comforted him by giving him a revelation. And with that revelation came strength to be able to keep him in the race. And he was kept in that race, I believe, by grace.
Amen.
And out of that came this song of victory. And that's really what it is. It's a song of victory. That, you know what? Something keeps holding me. It ain't me holding me. It's something that holds me. And that's what he came out of this whole thing with. And you know what? I believe this. I've said this many times. That I believe when we get there, we'll all have the same testimony in this. That it wasn't me who got me here. It's his amazing grace that got me here. Let's sing it again. Satan laid before me his temptation and his desire. Let's sing it together. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, it's helping me faithfully overcome my trials. Guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with somebody near you, and you may be seated tonight just for a moment. Think so? Welcome everyone to the house of the Lord tonight. Great to have you here at Hickory Bible Tabernacle, and we are honored to be able to have this meeting tonight. Good to have Brother Wayne with us, and it's an honor to have him to come, and all the guests and visitors. Brother Timothy, great to have you here. Josh, great to have you here. Appreciate you coming. Enjoyed the meeting. The last couple of days, it was a blessing. Got to slip in last night, got there late, had to leave early, but enjoyed what was said last night and done. And it's always, I don't know, it's just something good always happens when you get God's people together in the right place, preaching the right thing, and enjoying His blessings. You know, that's something we can always expect when get God's people together. So we're honored to have you all here tonight, and trust that what will be said and done here tonight might make a lasting impression on you and prepare you to cross over to the other side, because that's really what it's all about. You haven't arrived at your destination. You're not there yet. We're still here. And one day I believe we'll cross over and beyond the other side where we're all meant to be. Next week, Lord willing, we'll have Brother John minister for us in the Sunday night service. And he's always a blessing to us in song, he and his family, and we're honored to have them here tonight, minus one daughter who's in Africa. But we're glad to have Brother John to sing for us tonight, but he's going to take next Sunday night service, Lord willing. And we're looking forward to having him speak to us as well. So, Brother John, good to have you tonight.
Yes, Lord willing. I think I played this the last time I was here, but I had a couple people said they would, I'd missed it or wanted to hear it again, and so I thought, since you asked, I'll do this one again. You know, this is called The Will. It's one that I wrote a few years back, and God never stops working on someone.
Yeah.
You know, just this week, my daughters, they've been gone. Lorian's been at a singing school in North Georgia all week long. Saw her for the first time yesterday in 8 days. Arwen is in Mfondo, Congo. Please keep her in your prayers, volunteering at a 60-bed missionary hospital on the river there. And so, but you know, Jennifer takes Morgan to the local, our local living assisted home, and with another little friend of hers. And they met an older lady there who had just arrived. And Jennifer, you know, they go to the rooms and they give them little things they've made and they pray with them. And she asked them how they were doing. They invite them to the little Bible study. They hold a Bible study. And the lady, you know, she doesn't want to come. She said, "I'm just trying not to be grumpy about being here." And so, last week the girls went, and the lady came out and she was crying. And she said, "I was raised in the Catholic Church. I went to a Catholic school. The nuns, they spanked our hands. They were mean to us. And I said, I don't want anything to do with God. And all my life, I've turned away from God. I've run away from God. But now I know that He is love. And I'm starting to understand." And she was crying. She gave her heart to the Lord. And you know what? A lot of times we look at somebody and they're 50, 60, 70 years old, haven't served the Lord a day in their lives, and we tend to judge those people. You never know when God's going to touch your heart. And you might be sitting here tonight in a crowd this large, and you've spent years doubting and believing, being on the fringes, and you know what? God can touch you where you are. It could be time to come to Him. This is called The Will. The potter went down to a snake-filled swamp with a shovel and an empty sack. He stood knee-deep in a cold, dark pond where the water lay still and black. Then he drove his hands in the stagnant mire and he dragged me from the ground. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, the potter's shop is filled with lots of vessels ready for the fire. They can't get wet 'cause the glaze done set and they're sitting up high and dry. Well, now I'll admit I ain't there yet, but please don't put me down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he tells me he's got big plans for me, a vessel of honor in the house of the king. In a still small voice he speaks to me as he works this old clay down. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. set me up on the shelf to dry, but he didn't like what he saw. So he broke me up on the hard stone floor, then he swept me in the water trough. But in his good time, he brought me out, just a cold, dark, shapeless mound. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. Well, he tells me he's got big plans for me, a vessel of honor in the house of the king, in a still small voice. As he works his old lay down, he's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round. He's got one hand on the outside, one hand on the inside, and his wheel goes around and round.
That's all right. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and let's just invite Brother Wayne to come, and want to give him all the time and liberty that he needs tonight. I told him it's Sunday night, and in reality, that doesn't mean anything. It's just that it's Sunday night, and tomorrow's Monday, right? But tomorrow, the worries of tomorrow will take care of themselves. They'll arrive whether you think about it or not. But to me, there's just something good about being in the right place, the right time, with the right people, Amen. Hearing the right things. There's just something comforting about that. And you know, if we lost a lot of things and we had this, we'd still have everything. That's the way I look at it. Brother Wayne travels a lot. Most of you know him well and ministered in places that far and wide, and maintains a good report, a consistent report. And I always take stock of that. I think that's an important thing. You know, and some of these evangelists are traveling many, many places. And Brother Timothy, the same way, and some of the other ministers that are here. And it's a blessing to see that generation. I'm old enough now to be able to say that, see that generation rising up that have that good report and are blessing the bride worldwide. That's a great thing. That's not a little thing. That's God's doing. That's God's work. And we appreciate these brothers, the labors that they have and the burden they carry, and the families that carry it with them, because it's not easy on families to do that. So we want to invite them to come this evening and minister. So let's sing that little chorus, Have Your Way. And you just open your heart and your mind and just let the Holy Spirit speak to you tonight. Amen. Have your way. Have your as we wait.
It's a place we want to be this evening, amen. It's where God has His way, amen. It's a real honor to be here with you tonight. We pray God would bless you and meet your expectations of Him tonight. I pray that your expectations are high, amen, because if you're going to take God for God, you better set your expectations really high, because He's a God that can do exceedingly and even abundantly above what you even could think or ask. Amen. You think of the Holy Spirit tonight and what He's done to make a way to even be here in our hearts and in this meeting. And if He'll go that far and do that much just to arrive, what's He going to do for you tonight in your soul? And we want to say that it's an honor to be here. Thank Brother Barry for the invitation to be here tonight, and the church, and Brother Josh, and the different ones that's come out tonight with him, Brother Timothy, and the families. And we just want to say it's a real blessing, amen, to be able to speak to you here tonight. And let's just bow our hearts in a word of prayer, if we could. Heavenly Father, we are indeed privileged to be in your house tonight, and we want to thank you, Father, for the opportunity to serve you once again, Lord. And Father, if there be something that you would have said to your church tonight, I just pray, Father, that you would speak that word, that you would have your Bibles tonight. Let's look in the book of Romans if we can. We look at Romans, the 9th chapter. Brother Barry said it'd be all right if I just stretched out and took my liberty tonight and preached a little while. So I said, okay, if it's all right, we'll just be at home. Is that okay with y'all? Amen. And Romans, the 9th chapter. We want to look here from the 10th verse. And not only this, but when Rebekah also conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. Yeah. See, it was said unto her, that the elder shall serve the younger. And as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. We just ask the Lord to bless His word tonight, and you may be seated. Amen. Thank you. Amen. We just want to, if we can, to speak to you just from here for a few minutes tonight. I want to just to speak to you a little bit on Jacob's desire. Amen. Jacob's desire. I'll tell you, this portion of Scripture is a very powerful portion of Scripture, in that Paul, amen, being a Jew that was opening the door to the Gentiles, amen, he was trying to deliver the thought to the people that birth did not matter as much as promise. That birth did not matter as much as promise. In other words, it wasn't what race you were born of or what order of the seed you were born, but it was whether that you had a promise or not. And so he's trying to open this up and show. And I think of how that Paul would write this and show that God was able, before any child was born, to be able to know the outcome of those children and the very desires of those children. When you read here from the Message, recognizing and acting on the Word of God in 1960, Brother Branham will say this: we're fully acquainted with the people who search the Scripture day and night, and we read our papers and we hear the news commentators, that this world is now standing in the grip of two great spiritual forces. And those both are religious forces. And I believe these great forces are soon coming to a head. And both of these great forces are represented in the two sons of Isaac. See that how God in His infinite wisdom has foreshadowed all things to us, that we might by these things know of a certain what lays before us. See, made it so plain, God in His Word and the nature and His universe so perfectly arranged together. And see, now when you look and see how that the Scriptures are saying that here that Jacob was loved and Esau hated before either one of them was ever even born. Amen. And to find that the prophet's telling us now that God in the Scriptures already speaking of two seeds here, and He's not talking about Jacob and Esau in the natural, but He's talking about the spiritual in the last days. So before the last days ever get here, before the religious world ever comes to a place, God's already predicting that there will be a Jacob and there will be an Esau. He's saying, I'm going to love one and I'm going to hate the other. Amen. And He's going to show how that these two people are actually representing nations and how they're representing people. And when you go back in the Scripture and you read the book of Genesis, the 25th chapter, you're going to find the story of Jacob and Esau, and you're going to read how that even there in Jacob and Esau, you're going to find how that as their mother, Rebekah, was praying that God would give her a child. And when she conceived of two. But the Bible says, and the children struggled together within her. In other words, there was actually a struggle before they were ever born. While they were still in the womb, there was already a struggle going on. There was already a fight. And she went to inquire of the Lord of the struggle that was within her. And the Lord said unto her, there are two nations in thy womb and two manner of people that shall be separated from thy bowels. Now one of these people will be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Now when we think of this, that the elder shall serve the younger, this is totally opposite of the way the law was set up for this to happen. Amen. But it's showing that God is able by a promise to give somebody something that does not deserve it. They're not actually the one in line for it. It's not supposed to be that way at all. But God is a sovereign God, and by promise He can institute what He desires. And to think that here of how the Scripture says the elder shall serve the younger. Now, when you go in Romans, the 9th chapter back there, and you find in the 10th verse that it says, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. Now, Paul is going to be telling us something right here in this verse of Scripture, that even in the Scripture is saying that Rebekah conceived by one, even our father Isaac. Now, why would he take time to tell us that there is two seeds coming out of one womb by one father? And he's letting us know. No, opposed to something else that's happened in the Scripture. There has been other births in the Scripture with two seeds that were at war with one another, but they had different fathers back there. But he's saying by the same father now, coming out of the same womb, they're going to be. He's actually telling us the story of serpent seed here in Romans, the 9th chapter and the 10th verse. Amen. And we're seeing now the story from the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. And Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel. So we see there's going to be twins here. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And Cain and Abel, you see, they both of them was coming forth from the same womb. Amen. And one of them was older than the other. Amen. But they were of different seeds. They was of different fathers. Amen. And we find out how the Scripture's going to tell us now. They were brothers, but they were of different seed lines, out of the same womb, but two different fathers. And we're seeing that they're going to come forth out of the womb, and then they're going to show whose father or what seed line they're of by their way and approach unto God. Amen. In other words, that they're both going to be worshipers. They're both going to be religious. They're both going to have altars. They're both going to come this way, but one of them is going to come with something that's acceptable to God, and another is going to come by the works of his own hands.
Isn't it amazing that how Hebrews 11 and 4 that Paul is going to say again, he's going to say, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain. He said, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, and God testified of his gifts, and being yet dead he speaketh. Now notice, because the Bible's saying that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. So it wasn't saying that Cain's sacrifice was not excellent, because it was an excellent sacrifice, and had been done in the right order, it was an appropriate sacrifice. Amen. But we find under the Levitical law, amen, that Moses is going to tell us the order of sacrifice. Amen. Is the first thing that has to happen is you've got to have an atonement or a Passover lamb, and then you have a first fruits on Sunday morning following the Passover lamb. In other words, there's got to be a blood sacrifice, amen, before there's ever going to be a fruit sacrifice. And we find that Cain is showing the idea of a carnal believer that they could bypass the blood and go immediately to a resurrection. Amen. And showing exactly what was going to happen even in the latter times of how, amen, that it will become an actual bloodless worship and a worship of just carnal believing and putting names on the books and just joining churches and what kind of worship would come. But God did not accept that worship. He said, before you can ever offer first fruits, you've got to go back here and offer the blood. Amen. And Cain, amen, was rejected, but Abel was accepted in the fact that he offered blood unto God. In other words, he had to offer something that you could not make with his own hands. There's one thing about the Lord tonight that we all recognize is that God only receives the sacrifice he provides for himself. Amen. And Cain actually could not offer that because he was working by his own hands. Amen. But Abel did offer that sacrifice unto God. And when he did, it was Cain that got very angry because God accepted Abel's sacrifice. And then God told Cain, he said, well, if you would do likewise, I would receive yours as well. Amen. In other words, God actually made a way that anybody that would go that same way would have the same acceptance. Amen. In other words, God said, if it's in your heart to go the way Abel went, I will receive you the same as I received Abel. You don't have to get angry that God blessed Abel. Just do what Abel did, and I will bless you as well. Now think of this, because then we see in the scripture that this Cain become very angry at him. Amen. But God actually gave the blessing of the first right, and he gave it unto Abel rather than Cain. He should have blessed Cain by the birthright. Amen. Cain should have had the birthright. Amen. But because he did not come to God in the right order, God did not give it unto Cain, but he gave it unto Abel. Brother Bram said, see, Cain was really supposed to have received that birthright. He said, but lost it just like Esau did. He said, see, that first church of the mother church, as you want to call it, all the way through, they've lost the birthright. It always loses the birthright. Amen. Do you see, amen, that it shows that the younger receives the blessing or the birthright because of the way they approach God. Isn't it amazing that in the scripture it says Cain didn't have any respect under this birthright, and because he did not have any respect under the offering, God didn't have any respect under him, and Cain become very angry at the blessing that God had put on Abel. Amen. And when he become very angry at that blessing, look at what he done. The first thing he does is begin to murder the one who is being blessed. Amen. There ain't much change in this world. Religious persecution remains the same today. You take a little group like us here tonight of message believers and believing in the blood and the power of God, and they're always trying to mark us as some kind of a fanatic religion or some kind of an idea somewhere. Amen. But to realize that when the blessings of God comes upon us, that's when the enemy is going to come against us. Now watch in the scriptures. It says, see, amen, it says here that Cain actually killed Abel, his brother, amen, out in the field. See, that's the way it always is. Amen. The elder or the rejected always trying to destroy the one with the blessing. That's what it is. See, Joseph shows the same picture. When the scripture tells us, amen, that Joseph in the Bible goes out to his brethren. Amen. Why did they slay Joseph? Why did they fall on him and put blood on his garments? And why did they sell him into slavery? Joseph hadn't done anything wrong. Joseph, amen, had not done anything wrong, but God had chose him and had blessed him, and because of the blessing on him, his own brethren fell on him. I'll tell you what the prophet said about this. Brother Branham said that was the devil trying to get that woman's seed before it arrived. He said there had been a prophecy made in the scripture that there would be an enmity between the woman's seed and the serpent's seed. Amen. And the devil knew that woman's seed was going to bruise the head of the serpent. And there Joseph was as a type of that woman's seed. And the devil was trying to get him before he could ever get to a place of leadership. Amen. But he couldn't kill that seed. And he's not going to kill this seed. And he's not going to destroy this bride. Amen. But this seed will destroy the gates of its enemy. Amen. When I think of this tonight, I think of how, amen, that it was him against him. Do you see? God can elevate, and when he elevates by election, the devil always attacks that elevated, elected seed. It was Satan that tried to destroy the woman's seed back there. Amen. It's every time the blessings of God comes. Amen. We've seen the blessing come on Jacob, and it was Esau that tried to destroy him. We've seen the blessings of God come, and how when they always come, they're always persecuted. In the scriptures it tells us in Galatians chapter 4, we brethren as Isaac, as the children of promise, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so is it now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So brethren, then we are not children of the bondwoman, but we are of the free. Now watch, because this blessing has got to come. Now watch, every time this blessing is announced on the church, the enemy comes directly against that blessing. Amen. In Luke chapter 4, we see our Lord Jesus stand up in the sanctuary. What a tremendous thing. They've been looking for the Messiah for 4,000 years. And the Messiah finally comes. And not only does he come, but according to Luke chapter 4, that the Bible of the book of Isaiah was delivered unto the author of the Bible. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ standing in their synagogue that morning, and the word, amen, amen, and the word was delivered unto him, and the Bible said he opened up the book and begin to read. Amen. I tell you what a powerful thing that when the Lord himself opens his own book and begins to choose a portion of scripture for the people that is listening. Isn't it amazing that he took the book of Isaiah? Because in Isaiah there's 66 chapters in the Bible, and there was not a full Bible at the time of Jesus. It was only the Old Testament. But Isaiah had wrote both the Old and the New Testament in one book. And Jesus had took that book and broke it open and found the place where it was written in the book of Isaiah of how the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Look at what he's announcing. He has anointed me to preach the gospel. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance unto the captive, to the recovering of the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again unto the minister and sat down, and the eyes of the synagogue were fastened on him. And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Oh, can you imagine? Then right then there was an anointing released. That was a release of the power of God in that building right then by the words of our Lord Jesus that would heal every brokenhearted person sitting in there. They had the material to heal every brokenhearted. They had the power that every one of them that were bound could be delivered. They had a power right then that would release every captive, that would make every blind, amen, be able to see, and everyone that were bruised come to liberty. Can you imagine the grace that was delivered unto them? And he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. To think when God began to fulfill that scripture, and how that our Lord Jesus actually said to them then, you would have thought that the congregation should have rose to their feet in one accord and began to worship God for a fulfilled word in their generation. They should have rose up in one at one place and began to say, praise God for liberty. They should have began to worship God for the anointing that was in the building, an anointing to break the bonds and to open blinded eyes and to receive. But you know it was not the case in the scripture. Amen. When you turn the very next few verses, you'll find that they rose up with one accord. Amen. But they did not worship the Lord. They led Jesus out. Amen. They rose up and thrust him out. The Bible says, amen, that even they carried him out headlong. And they went up to the brow of the hill and was casting upon him. And they was decided they'd throw him out headlong. I don't think the scriptures was making an accident. Amen. But they wasn't mad at the feet of Jesus. They wasn't trying to throw him feet first. They was mad at that revelation that he was carrying. They couldn't accept that revelation, so they were throwing out that headship. Amen. They were casting the headship out from among them. Amen. Because that the blessings of God was upon him, and the power of the Holy Ghost was resting on him, and he was announcing to them, and that devil didn't want that kind of anointing among them. Amen. So they threw out the headship, and they took to themselves their traditions and their ideas, and it's always that way. Do you see the religious world? You look in the book of Psalms of how that David began to sing of it. You know, amen, David was a powerful writer. David, he could write some songs now. David, you know the first song David ever sung, he wrote about you? You know the first song David ever sung in the Bible, he sung about you. He sung about a tree that could not be destroyed. He sung a song about a tree that was planted by the water and could not be moved. Though the world, the destruction would come to it, he said there'll be a root left in her and she'll come forth again. David said there's a tree somewhere that you can't cut down. There's life somewhere you can't keep under a bush. There's life somewhere that's got to come out. Amen. And if there's a prophecy of a bride in the last day, amen, the world can come against us. Every devil out of hell can come against us, but there'll be a bride rise up anyhow, because there's a word over her, and it's thus saith the Lord. Oh, what's the scripture? Heaven and earth could fail, but the word of God cannot fail us tonight. And if that word speaks of us, then we'll have to stand there just like that word says we'll be there. You see what David sings? He sings about that one that cannot be destroyed. But man said that was the bride tree. Amen. She's a perfect prophet tree. Just like her Lord was a perfect prophet tree, produced every prophecy that was spoken of him. He said, I do that which my Father has shown me. And there's a bride coming forth. Amen. That's a perfect prophet bride tree. Amen. What is she? She's got prophecy in her limbs. She's got the word of the Lord. Amen. Running out of her limbs. And the fruit of her ministry is the teaching of the Bible. Amen. To think that prophecy was coming out, and there's nothing going to stop it, friends. Amen. In Psalm chapter 2, David begins to sing, why does the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? For the kings of the earth set themselves as rulers and take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed, saying, let us break the bands asunder, cast away the cords from us. And he sitteth in the high heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have in them derision. Now, it's amazing is that they took counsel to destroy Jesus. David is prophesying of how that the religious rulers and the world took counsel to destroy Jesus in that day. Amen. But watch what David says about it. They said, we're going to break the bands asunder and cast away the cords from us. Amen. But the one that sits in heaven just laughed at them. Amen. The one that sits in heaven just laughs at the devil's plans concerning the church. Amen. Do you see? They decided that they would put Jesus in a tomb and they would destroy the effects, amen, of that bridegroom. Amen. But you got to notice something, that God allowed it to go so far, just as far as prophecy allowed it to go. Is that right? There was a prophecy there that the woman's seed would bruise the head of the serpent. But the serpent would bruise his heel. So the devil is limited. I want you to remember that right there. And always remember that. The devil is limited of how far he can come against you. Amen. He put Jesus in the tomb, didn't he? Amen. But he could only stay there 3 days. As long as prophecy allowed him to be in that tomb, the devil could keep him in that tomb. But the moment that prophecy come together with fulfillment of time, amen, the devil nor hell nor the grave nor death could hold him in the tomb one day past what the prophecy said he would be. Oh, I'll tell you what it took 100 men to roll a stone up into the tomb of Jesus Christ. One angel came down and rolled this tomb back and broke the seals open. Oh, I tell you, they can only hold you so long. Amen. The death can only hold a man so long. Death can only hold the word so long. But then it's got to come forth. Well, I think of it tonight. I think something's got to come forth. I don't care how much counsel comes against it. It don't matter how much the world is against it. It don't matter how many demons is against it. There is a prophecy concerning the bride of Jesus Christ. There will be a bride. There will be a rapture. Amen. It has been spoken, and thus it shall be. Oh, to think about it tonight. It was no different when Isaiah come up that morning. Amen. And out of Isaiah 7, they recorded him that beautiful, beautiful morning in the synagogue when that prophet began to preach. And the prophet of God said inspiration dropped on him. And he backed up and screamed out, "Behold, a virgin will conceive." 700 years, that word circled the earth. That word circled there till it found a womb, until it found a Mary. And when that word found a womb, it had to be fulfilled. Oh, and to think, amen, that word took a planting rain, and that word took a harvest rain. But here in the last days, we've had a prophet among us that was the inspiration of God that said there's going to be a bride. There's going to be a rapture. Amen. And it's not going to circle the earth for 700 years waiting on a latter rain. Amen. But according to the Bible, in the book of Joel, he said, "I'll pour out the former and the latter rain together." And in the same season that the word is spoken, there'll be a bride rise up out of that word. And right here tonight, there's hearts that are opened up, and this message has fell into them, and it's building the greatest body that's ever been on the face of the earth. There ain't nothing ever been like this bride. There ain't nothing ever been on the earth like the bride of Jesus Christ. Well, I'll tell you this, amen. You say, "Brother Wayne, what's the matter with you?" I'm excited to know this. The word is behind me. The word is behind me. Amen. God sits in the heavens and laughs at the devil. And the devil said, "I'm going to destroy. And I'm going to tear this little group down. And I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this." And God just sits up in heaven and laughs at it. Because he knows he's already spoken concerning you and me. Oh, I'll tell you, when Brother Branham says what was on God's mind when that first Eve fell, he said he had his mind about a second Eve that wouldn't fall. Is that right? He said there's coming an Eve in the last days that will not fail or commit adultery on this word. And I always thought about that. How could she keep that word like that? And one day I was listening to the prophet, and he says, "Listen," he said, "the reason she can't fail from the word is because this one will be the word. This one will be the word." Amen. We're not just keeping the word. Amen. We are the word. This is a spoken word, seed, bride. Amen. The promise of God is upon our lives. Oh, I tell you, when God's promise comes upon a people, amen, he sits in heaven and he laughs at the devil that says that he's going to break this. You see, you're connected to the cords of prophecy tonight. There's cords of prophecy connected to your life. Amen. When you were out in the world and you were doing what you wanted to do, there was a cord connected to you. Amen. And that was the pull on your life. Amen. It was a cord of prophecy that said there's going to be a bride. And just as sure as there's a Bible written, God knew this time that we're living in. And he spoke concerning the church, concerning the people. Amen. See, not only did this Bible tell us, amen, that these enemies hated the children of God. Amen. But you see, God had spoke concerning them, so the devil always lost in his plans. Now the Bible's going to tell us, amen, that even in the Scripture, that the reason they've always despised the children of God is because they despised the birthright. You see in Genesis 25 and 30, see Esau and Jacob fed him, and Esau himself was so hungry and he wanted something to eat. And Jacob said unto him, "Sell me this birthright you have." And then Esau said, "I'm at the point of dying. What profit shall this birthright do me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and swear unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. So watch now. It didn't mean any more to Jacob or to Esau than just a bowl of soup. One meal was all that birthright meant to him. That was all the meaning it had in his life. But it was because not only did it not have value to him, he actually despised it. The Bible says in Genesis 25 and 34 that Jacob and Esau bred and portage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went away. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Do you see? Now watch, because watch now, in hearing, recognize, and acting. Brother Bram will say this. So what a satisfaction it gives us to know that when you're born to the Spirit of God, you're sons and daughters of God. Now, Jacob, it meant so much to him. See, but that birthright meant nothing to Esau. Frankly, he despised it. And I say this with reverence, his children still do. See, what is it? What do I have to do that for? Why should I receive the Holy Ghost? I'm as good as you are. My religion's as good as you are. Why should I go through all of this? I'm just as good as you are. I go to church. I got my name on the book. He says, see, that's what you are. But what are you in the sight of God? You've got to be born again, spiritually minded. So it didn't mean anything to Esau. He despised that. And the carnal believer today still despises that birthright. And that birthright is the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now watch the prophet. He tells us this, that you can actually see the two seeds from that day in the day that we're living in. Watch what he'll say. But he that despised the birthright, and Jacob believed in it. Hallelujah. That's the church today. All that new birth stuff, that holy roller stuff, there's nothing to that. But see, some of them love it and others despise it. I'm glad to get it. Amen. I believe in a new birth, being filled with the Holy Ghost. Without it, you're gone. Amen. See what it is now. Look at the heart of this believer. God looks at the heart. Do you see the heart of Jacob? He didn't care what anything come or went. Amen. There was one solid purpose, and that was to get that birthright. That's that real believer today. You see, Jacob had one purpose. I got to get that birthright. And that real believer today has that same seed, has that same thing. I got to get that birthright. Oh, he was willing to do anything. You see, Brother Branham says it like this, the elected, predestinated of God come to eternal life. He says, if they have to sell everything they got, if they have to take their name off of every church book in the nation, they want that birthright. Amen. It's the only thing that matters to them. Just get that birthright, no matter how, what level they have to come to. If they have to get down at an altar and cry and boo-hoo, if they have to run through the place, if they have to make things right, if they have to sell what they got and give everything away, they have to become a pilgrim or a stranger, it does not matter. They want that birthright. That's all they're interested in, is that birthright. Don't you blame them, people. They can't help it. They're predestinated to it. They're elected. Amen. So they can't blame us tonight for the way we feel about this Holy Ghost. Amen. People think you're a bit of a holy roller when you believe in the Holy Ghost. But there's a reason you believe in it. It's because you're elected to believe in it. Amen. The Bible predicted you'd be here in this last day. And it might have costed you your social standing. It might have cost you a popularity. But you're not even interested in that. But there's one thing that's on our heart tonight. Oh God, give us that Holy Ghost. Amen. Give us that power of life in the church. Give us that God of mercy among us. Do you see? Amen. Brother Bam says it here. The Holy Ghost ought to be more important to you than everything else in the world. Your prestige, your life, your job, or anything there is. You should not cease until you have it. Amen. You see this? You must receive it. Amen. Well, I'm afraid of what's going to happen in my work. I'm afraid of my husband. Don't you be afraid. He says, let everything else go. Let it be first. I expect to get it one of these days, Brother Branham. He said, not one of these days. This is the time. Let it be first. Let it before you do anything else. Let it have it right now. Get desperate. Now, that would help answer our question. When you get desperate for it, when you really got to have it or die, that's when you're going to get it. Oh, I tell you, if there's somebody here tonight without the Holy Ghost, let me give you an answer from a prophet. When you get desperate, you're going to get it. Amen. When you're willing to do anything, then you're going to get it. Amen. If you have the Holy Ghost in here tonight, won't you give me a witness right now that there's a way to get that Holy Ghost? Is somebody in here got it tonight? So, brother, amen. Let everybody in this building know you can have the Holy Ghost. Maybe there's a person sitting here right now wondering, is it really possible to get the Holy Ghost? Well, there's a good 40, 50, 60 witnesses in here tonight that you can get the Holy Ghost. Amen. That there's a reality to the Holy Ghost. If a man gets desperate, God will give him the Holy Ghost. If a young woman gets desperate, God will give her the Holy Ghost. This is a promise unto you and unto your children, and as many as God would call. Oh, I'll tell you this, it's a deep call. Is that right? Amen. I don't care if it costs every friend, if it costs job, if it costs memberships. He says everything, he's going to hold on. He said until something in him, moving in him, it's a deep call to the deep. Do you see what Jacob's desire was? I got to get that blessing. Jacob's desire was, I got to get that Holy Spirit. I got to get that blessing from God. We seen it when he went into his father's tent under the covers of the hair of a goat, and he went under a cover to get a blessing. Amen. What a type. Amen. His mama taught him, if you want daddy's blessing, you got to get under cover. You can't get it as Jacob, but if you could get it under this substitute, you could receive that blessing. I'll tell you this, amen. I know the Church of the Living God, we'll never get it on our own. You'll never get the Holy Ghost on your own, young people. But if you ever come under the substitute of the blood, you can go in the presence of the Father, and He'll lay the blessings of God upon that substitute. Amen. Amen. And to think tonight, amen, that same desire that Jacob had come out on the river. When Jacob was getting ready to go back to his homeland, he met an angel out there. And remember what he done? He wrestled with that angel. And he wrestled all night long. And the Bible said he wrestled and would not let go of that angel until he got the blessing. You know why he wrestled with that angel? Because he knew it was possible to be blessed. Amen. You know why that you long for the Holy Ghost? Because there's something in you that tells you it's possible. Amen. Amen. There's something on the inside that says it's available to them that believe. You see, that desperation's there. Now, I know that sometimes men get away from it, and the ideas of men get away from it. Amen. And I know sometimes that maybe even people don't enjoy staying and praying for the Holy Ghost anymore. But it's because that their hearts are getting cold, and they're not believing that God is available to give it anymore. So it's not something to seek after. Amen. But if I didn't have the Holy Ghost tonight, I would not quit till I got the Holy Ghost. I would not sit down or quit. Or not do it. I would not let go, because it can be had tonight. It can be had. The Holy Ghost can be given. Amen. You watch here. Jacob knew it could be. Amen. And what did he do? He held on till he got it. Let me tell you something, young people. Hold on till you get it. Amen. If you're an elder and you're not here, let me tell you, hold on till you get it. You don't have to settle being justified. You don't have to be settled with being sanctified. There is a real, genuine experience in the power of God where the Holy Ghost comes down on your life, and you can speak to God and He'll speak back to you. You can go to a place with God where the devil can't get it out of you, where a theologian can't take it away from you, where somebody can't argue it away from you. But you know that you know that you know that the Redeemer is alive and that He's in your heart. Amen. Let me tell you tonight, I've had an experience with God, and I know God still gives them tonight. Amen. If you've got a desire to meet God, then there's got to be a God to meet. If you've got a desire to have a blessing from God, then there's a blessing to give. If you desired a heaven and there wasn't a heaven, God would create one just to meet that desire in your heart. Oh, how much greater is God to come down here in this building tonight and meet the expectation of your heart. I tell you, we limit God. We limit Him and think, well, He don't do that anymore. That's like a bunch of ducks up there in the north be sitting there, amen, and they're getting ready to start flying south. And one of the young ducks runs up and says, I want to go south with you. And somebody else raises up and said, well, ducks don't fly south anymore. Amen, ducks don't fly south anymore. But after a little while, somebody that's been south before will rise up among them, begin to say, let's move, boys. And he takes off in a direction, you see, because he knows there's a place to go. And I believe tonight there's a place for the church of the living God to go beyond fear, beyond reason, beyond doubt, until they come into the presence of the Almighty God and let the Holy Ghost take over their lives. Oh, I'll tell you, you see, if you just keep moving, you're going to find the blessing. Amen. I know it's a paradox. It's a paradox. Amen. I can't make it happen. I can't give you the Holy Ghost. I can't give you a new birth. It's a paradox. Brother Barry can't give it to you. Amen. The only thing we are required to do is preach the experience and to preach the power of God. It's like David when he threw his rock. David knew he couldn't kill that giant, but he knew he had a job to throw that rock. And it was a paradox how that little rock killed that big giant. And it's a paradox tonight how that a mortal man can stand here and say that if you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And you watch a young person repent and God come down and give them the Holy Ghost. It's a paradox how it happens, but it still happens. Oh, that's right. Amen. You see, it's when Jacob wrestled it out with that angel. It's when he overcome. That's when the way he walked changed. Amen. I know today, amen, there's a lot of people walking their own way. But if you want to walk under the Spirit of the Lord, there's a way to walk that way. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. People said they had an experience with God and they're doing the same old things, going the same old places, acting the same old way, hearts full of bitter and jealousy and malice and envy and fighting and warring with one another all the time and say they got the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. That's not the Holy Ghost the Bible talks about. But there's a Holy Ghost available tonight that'll burn jealousy out of your heart. It'll burn envy out of your heart. It'll burn that old anger and that malice and that feuding and fighting. Amen. If the church needs something tonight, it needs an old-fashioned Holy Ghost experience with the presence of God. Burn it out, everything that belongs to you. You say, Brother Wayne, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the fire of God that can burn that out of your life and cause you to walk different. Now, some of these elders in here know what I'm talking about. They're witnessing that. They remember when they walked one way, and then one day they met that angel, and they met that presence, and he pressed it into their thigh, and they never walked the same again after that day. They never walked again. Every step they take the rest of their life, they remembered, I was in the presence of God. And the walk of a true believer must testify, I've been in the presence of God. I've been a changed man. I've been a Holy Ghost-filled man. Oh, I'll tell you, there's an experience with God that'll change your name. It'll change the way you walk. Jacob was an old deceiver. Amen. We might as well admit it. Amen. I remember when I sat there on that pew and was a deceiver in my heart. Amen. You got to be careful not be that deceiver in your own heart. Don't deceive yourself. Don't try to deceive others. Come face to face with it. If it's wrong, it's wrong. And watch when the scripture said he had a change from being Jacob, a deceiver, to being Israel, a prince with God. Amen. A prince. Look at that change that come upon him. Brother Bram said that was an overcoming. Amen. An overcoming in his life. You know there's some overcomers in this age. You know what Brother Bram said overcoming was? Keeping life in you. He said you got to keep life in you. Amen. You've got to be careful and keep life in you. You say, Brother Wayne, I've been to an altar. I've received an experience from God. Amen. And have to talk about it 30 years ago. Or how it was 20 years ago. Or 15 years ago, I knelt down and the Lord dealt with me. Well, that's wonderful. But what happened since then? Wait a minute, if you're a true Christian experience, then you cannot number the experiences you've had with God. It's from one experience to another experience to another experience in the power of God. And not a bunch of fanaticism. Amen. But there's a living God. And there's a living Word that heals and saves and delivers and brings the presence of God in them. We shouldn't have to look backwards to find an experience with God. It ought to be right here tonight in the church of the living God. There ought to be a lick of fire moving under this message in such power that it'll burn every heart on fire with God. Amen. To think about that experience that come down there, I don't think we ought to have to look back 100 years to find it. Amen. But we ought to be full of life tonight. Brother Bam said, be careful and don't get caught without life in you. You watch and see what he's talking about. He said, I was going across the woods one day, and He said, I went out there and I stepped on a log. It was laying in the water. He said, I thought it would hold my weight. He said, but when it stepped on it, wouldn't hold my weight. He said, I started sinking into it. He said, now why was that log in that condition? He said, because it was in the waters and there wasn't no life in it. So it got soft. It couldn't hold no weight. Amen. Can we preach a minute? Amen. You see, it couldn't hold no weight. Let me give you just a little tidbit here. When you can't hold no weight, you need to get back in your prayer room. When you can't take nothing, you need to get back in your prayer room. When everything everybody does puts you in depression, then something wrong with you. When every person that says something to you or touches you makes you where you don't want to come to church and you just feel like quitting and walking away, amen, then what's happening is you're letting that life get away from you and you're getting soft and Laodicea, amen, but let that life come in there and you'll become a rugged Christian, amen, and people can't hurt your feelings. Like that. There's life laying down in there. Oh, I pray to God tonight that He would open up the doors of heaven and pour a blessing of life among the church of the living God. Oh, we need the life of God. Do you love Him tonight? Amen. Do you see what Jacob done? He had that name change. Amen. Watch how it is in Genesis 17. When Abram, who was 99 years old, amen, God appeared unto Abram and said, I'm the Almighty God. Walk thou before me. Amen. The Almighty God come to Abram. And you know what Brother Bram said? He said, and he nursed from the breast of Almighty God, El Shaddai, and that's where he received his life. Oh, the breasted God gave life unto Abram. And when Abraham fed from the breast of God, when he fed from that breast, then life came into him. Oh, that was a promise he was feeding on. Brother Bram said the promise was what fed Abraham. And watch, and the older that he got, the stronger that he got. Because it was longer nursing on the promise. When he first nursed it, that was just a little strength. But the longer that fella fed on that promise, the stronger that he got. That's the reason tonight the bride 50 years after a prophet is stronger tonight than she was 50 years ago, because we're feeding on the promises of Almighty God. This bride is not an immature bride no more. She's not a baby bride no more. She's not just a barely getting along bride. But there's a mature bride tonight that's been feeding on the Word of God. Whew. Oh, the devil better watch out. What he better do. Because there's some sons and daughters of God alive tonight that's been on the promises of God, and they got strength in them. They got a blessing in their life. You see, that Abram was there and began to bless, and God began to make a change in Abram, and he actually changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Is that right? He put an H in the name of Abram. He added it. Brother Bram said he added himself to Abraham. He added that H that was adding him. Do you know that's the fifth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, H? Do you know that that's the fifth letter of Abraham's name, the H? That's the number of grace. It's the number of faith. God was adding unto him grace and faith and putting it right in his own name. That every time somebody said the name of Abraham, they had to remember that he had been nursing off of God, that he had been positioned by the Almighty God. I have called thy name Abraham, and thou shalt no longer just be a barren man, but thou will be the father of many nations. Isn't it amazing when seven letters come in his name, a position changed, and he become an adopted son, and that adopted son had a position though he didn't have children? But God put him in the condition for a change. Brother Bram said when that name changed, he said a condition for the body change come on him with that new name. Is that right? Amen. With that new name, a condition come on him. And Brother Ram said, when the church receives the quickening power, it puts them in a raptured condition. They're ready for the change. Amen. I actually talked to a rabbi over there in Israel. Brother, I was over there with Brother Tony Abma, that Rabbi Richmond that's a head of that institute there. He's a real scholar and theologian in the Jewish traditions and ideas and things. And I actually asked him, had a chance to ask him about this. I said, Brother Richmond, what do you believe about this H in Abraham's name? I said, we have a little thought or two that we exercise and think is wonderful, but what do you Jewish people believe about that H? He said, well, Brother Wayne, he said, the only thing I can tell you is that in the Hebrew language, he said, when you put an H in a name, He says the only thing that we can see is that the H has to be pronounced a certain way. He said in the Hebrew language, you actually have to say an H with a breath. In other words, you can't just say like we would say H, ham. They have to say hum. So the Hebrew has to breathe across that H. So every time somebody said Abram's name, they would say, Abraham. Amen. You see, they actually had to speak of the breath that had been breathed over Abraham's life. They actually, every time the man's name was spoken, was a reminder that God had breathed over this man. God had breathed a promise over him. God had breathed a promise of a change over him. God had breathed a promise of a new son that would come out of his loins. Amen. His name could not be said without a promise of that breath that would come upon him. Oh, I'll tell you this. Amen. The breath of God was inspiration for a change in Abraham. Amen. Is that right? It was an inspiration of change. Isn't it amazing that God's breath is always inspiration? It's down there in the book of Ezekiel. Amen. That when Ezekiel sees a whole valley full of dry bones, that God said, can they live, Ezekiel? And he said, I don't know, Lord. He said, listen, if you'll just prophesy, they will live. And Ezekiel began to prophesy. And as he began to prophesy, bone became to bone. And after a while, a shaking started happening. And they started coming together in sinew. You read it. There's actually four stages laying there in Ezekiel. Amen. But the last stage of the change was when the breath come across that valley. It was prophetic inspiration that brought life to that valley. Oh, Church of the Living God, we'll never have change without prophetic word. There can never be change without inspiration. And God sent that inspiration through that prophet and breathed across that valley. And he rose them up in the breath of God, bringing inspiration and life to a valley of dry bones. Amen. That breath of life that came. To think that was the very thing that Lord had done to Adam in the garden when he laid there. Amen. The Bible tells us that he was formed out of the dust of the earth. Brother Branham said that Adam was laying in that garden floor like a tree with his hands and his feet growed in the ground. But God walked by him one day. Amen. And God knew he was different than an animal. God knew he was different than a tree. And God breathed the breath of life. And he became a living soul. Amen. God has breathed on the tree life, but it never come in his image. God breathed on the animal life, but it never come in his image. But when God breathed on Adam, there was a seed in Adam. And he become the breath of God's own existence and become his image. Oh, I'll tell you this. That's why Jesus stood there in the Bible and went among his disciples. And the Bible said he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Is that right? It was on the day of Pentecost when 120 were gathered in the upper room that there come a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. The breath of God come down in that room and filled every one of them. Oh, friend, let me tell you tonight, God is still breathing on the church. He's still breathing inspiration. Amen. That inspiration comes on the church, and the church rises to its feet. Amen. This message has breathed upon us a change from Pentecost to being the bride of Jesus Christ. It's breathed upon us from just being another church to being that adopted body of Jesus Christ, to being the fulfillment of Romans, the 8th chapter, that manifested Son. Oh, listen, friend, you're not here tonight just to hear a bunch of promises. God didn't call you here tonight to promise you something. You see, you got to understand where you're standing right now. When I read here a while back and I was reading about Abraham and God giving him all that land, I always thought Abraham owned all that land. But in Acts the 7th chapter, Stephen straightened me out. Stephen said Abraham didn't own one piece of that ground. Though he was there and God promised it, he never owned one piece. That's why Abraham had to buy Sarah's tomb. He didn't own any of that land, but God said unto him, you shall possess the land. But he wasn't making the promise unto just Abraham. It was to Abraham and his seed. And it wasn't till 400 years later that Abraham's seed, under the ministry of Joshua, come into that land and they possessed what had been promised to Abraham. And there's a bride here tonight Amen. God didn't call you to this chair to make a promise of rapture to you. He didn't call you to make a promise of the Holy Ghost. He called that first church in the book of Acts and Thessalonians and Corinthians, and He promised a body change, and He promised the Holy Ghost, and He promised life coming into them. He made the promise to them, but He called you here tonight to fulfill the promises that were made in the Bible. We're not here tonight to hear God saying, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do this. This is a generation where you're going to fulfill what was promised in the Bible. Oh, I'll tell you, this is a generation that will not hinder. They will not hinder, but because they have Jacob's desire, the birthright or the blessing has fell upon them. See what it is. See, watch, they're wanting to be a part of redemption. They're wanting to be a part of the blessings of God. They want the birthright to fall upon them because they see a need to manifest Christ in the age you're living in. Oh, I'll tell you, that blessing, that desire that was in Jacob is the very same desire that laid in Tamar. When they took Tamar and put her out there and said, you're not going to have no seed. You know what Tamar did? Tamar did whatever it took. That was a woman that was desperate. And if that was only a type in the Bible of a woman desperate for God, what would that fulfillment be like in this generation? Well, I imagine some of them sitting right here tonight. Amen. That's forsook their own families and homes and everything else so they could come under the blessings of God. Amen. Many in this age have become under that Tamar anointing where whatever anybody says about them, that's just what they say. But they're so desperate to be a part of this redemption. Amen. There's something on them. It's that very same seed, that line that's running through them. Do you see this is the same seed? Amen. That when Tamar herself, it's amazing, isn't it, how Tamar took that, how she took that relationship with Judah under a certain guise, and then Judah gave her that token of sign and gave her that staff, and later he returns and he finds her in that condition and he's going to kill her. Amen. But she had that token. Amen. But she had that token. You know what she did? She ripped up that token and said, now whoever seed is in me is who this staff belongs to. Then he recognized she had his very seed in her. She had the token of the seed. Amen. There's a token to that seed life that's down on the inside of that bride. And desperation is the token. Watch what he's saying to us. It's the thing that causes them to reach out. We're living in an age now of the token. It's an age of the Holy Ghost, the token life coming on the church. Brother Bram tells us this. He tells us, amen, that there cannot be an exodus of the last day until there's a fulfillment of iniquity and trouble upon the age. Now, we're living in a time where there's more trouble than there ever even has been. According to Brother Branham, he says God in Matthew 24 and Daniel chapter 12 says there'll be more trouble than there ever was. He said, and we're living in that time now. Can you imagine we're living in the fulfillment of Daniel 12 and Matthew 24 right now? That's why things are crazy. That's why people are going totally insane. That's why troubles are everywhere. Amen. We look at it that somehow that the devil might pull you in it, or maybe even you're afraid you're going to fall into it. Or the devil trying to bring. But listen, friend, listen. God knew it was coming before it came. He prophesied of its coming, and when he prophesied of his coming, then he tells you, amen, that according to the Bible, that there's got to be an exodus in the church of the living God. Now, in the first exodus back there under Moses, there had to be a token, and there had to be a deliverance, but it came in the time when death came on the camp. When death was everywhere, that's when the exodus came. When the cup of iniquity become full, that's when the token came. Now watch, because we find out that the Bible tells us they couldn't go anywhere until the cup of iniquity was full. Can you turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3? And we find out that if we're waiting on the cup of iniquity to become full, let's just look at the cup right quick. Go into 2 Timothy, the third chapter. And watch how the Scripture says now. Yeah. Thus, know also that in last days perilous times shall come. Now we can say this day, this Scripture, fulfilled. We're living in that time. Yeah. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now I want you to watch what's happening here. We have one cup of iniquity. This is one cup, right? And if I was just pouring from one little bottle here, and I was pouring it into that cup. Now, it'd take a little while to fill it up. Say it's a pretty good size cup. It'd take a little while to fill it up. But if you started handing out bottles to a bunch of different people, and they all started pouring in at the same time, look how much quicker you could fill one cup. Now, watch what's happening here, because you're not talking about one spirit filling up iniquity. But look at what it says. Men be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Did I read that right? Being disobedient to parents is right next to blasphemers? Oh, be careful, young people. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now watch, because look at all of the people pouring into this cup at the same time. So the cup of iniquity becomes full in the last days, and it even starts to pull over. And the scripture says it like this, for these are the sort that which crept in the houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Now that's many kinds of lust. So now we're not just talking about one kind of lust. Now we're talking about lots of them. There's lots of ideas being poured into this one cup. Amen. They're ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Now watch. And now Janice and Jambers is going to show up right here in the end time. And as Janice and Jambers withstood Moses. Now, what's Moses doing in there? We're all the way down here in the end time in the middle of blasphemers and false accusers and truce breakers. And all of a sudden we got Janice and Jambers and Moses showing up in the end time. Amen. Moses is in there. Amen. Now watch. These men resist the truth of corrupt minds. So Moses is right there in 2 Timothy when iniquity is becoming full. Moses is going to show up and they're going to mock him, but he's going to be there anyhow. But let's look in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, in the 8th verse. When the cup of iniquity was a full in that day, what happened in that generation? God called Moses to the side, and he said to Moses in the 8th verse, I am come down to deliver thee out of the hand of the Egyptian, and to bring thee out into a land good and large, and unto a land milk and honey. Now, you know that's not proper English. I am come down. That's not proper English at all. But that's not an announcement of something. That's an announcement of who has come down. Who is it that come down to speak to Moses? It was the God of Abraham that had come down to speak to Moses, because the iniquity was full, and it was time for an exodus of God's people. Amen. And when God got ready for an exodus, he came to a man and come down to him. Now, that's not talking about God coming out of the heavens and appearing in the... And just, amen. Moses didn't stand there and see Jesus coming down. Amen. And appearing before him. Amen. But he was there in a burning bush. What was it? It was the God that was, and the God that is, was appearing visibly before Moses, and he was appearing as a vindicated word. So Moses saw him. The Bible said, having seen the unseen, he could endure that which he was going to face. He saw the invisible God become visible in his presence. You see, God had condescended to a visible portion that those that which looked upon him could have the faith that Moses was going to need. God would come down to him. Amen. Isn't it amazing that it was in God's promise to Abraham made God come to Moses? God had said, I will deliver them with a mighty hand. But before God could deliver them, he had to call a prophet to go down into that nation. Because God himself was going to deliver them, but he was sending Moses unto them. And God has made a promise to this generation that I'm going to give you a body change, and I'm going to give you a rapture. And are we not Abraham's seed? But because God promised Abraham, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself would come down among his people. In Revelation's 10th chapter, it said a mighty angel would come down among his people. And here he is tonight in a visible presence in the last days, meeting a man named William Branham to bring a message of deliverance to the church of the living God. Oh, I'll tell you what. Amen. God bringing by a pillar of fire a way for an exodus for the believer. Amen. You see the Amorites become full. The time of iniquity had come full. And the time of promise had arrived. God didn't come down to make a promise. God said, I come down to deliver. God ain't come tonight to make a promise. He's come to deliver. He's come to heal. He's come to save. He's come to do that which is even above what we even think that he could. Do you see? He's coming down. This is the end time connection of Moses to the last days. God is going to send a Moses among us. A deliverer with a pillar of fire, a token as a presence upon the people that we could receive the blood. Amen. And to think that God is coming down among us, that's exactly what we've received in this message. Amen. You see, it's not a corporal body. We don't get that till we meet him in the air. Are you with me? Yes. Matthew 24:24 says, if they say unto you, lo, he's here, or lo, he's there, he said, believe them not. Amen. Brother Ben said, do you see that Matthew 24 spirit? They're teaching Jesus Christ in corporal form on the earth. He said, that's a false anointing. The church don't see him on the earth. They see him in the heavens. They raise up to meet him. That's the reason you got to have a body change. That's the reason your body's got to change, because you got to meet him in another dimension, not in the earth. Amen. But watch now. Amen. But what he promised was the life to come upon the believer. The life of God is the Holy Ghost. You see, what's taking us to our mate is the Holy Ghost. You see, people say, well, that's an emotion, or it's a theology, or it's an idea. It is a person. The Holy Ghost is a person, and we've received that person of the Word in this generation, and it's become the breath of inspiration that changed our name, that made us stand up, made us walk different, made us act different. This is not just a bunch of emotion. It's not just a bunch of ideas. This is Christ Himself coming among His church. Oh, yes, sir. It's going to cause excitement. How can it not cause excitement? Amen. It causes a movement. It causes emotion. It causes feeling. It's not the emotion. It's what causes the emotion. You see, Christ Himself coming among His people. It's in a time of judgment, in a time of trouble. But it's Christ delivering His church. You see, this is the very thing the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth. More than one end of the earth. Amen. But watch now. There was a little girl one time coming to the end of her world. And her name was Rahab. And when Rahab started coming to the end, in the end of Jericho, what did she do? She looked to God. And what did she have? She had the same desire that Jacob had. She said, give me a token. That same desire was on that little woman Rahab. Was the same desire on that woman Tamar. It was the same desire on Jacob. It's the same desire on the church of the living God. Amen. It was foretold in the book of Genesis that God would predestinate a covenant between Abraham and his seed. And that's when he says, see, he will predestinate a covenant unto a generation for an everlasting covenant. Amen. Now notice, because this is what Paul is talking about in Galatians. When he said, see, it was known that day of faith, that they are the same of the children of Abraham. And the scriptures foreseen that God would justify heathen through faith. And preach the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall the nations of the earth be blessed. So when Rahab heard the gospel, she come into the covenant of Abraham by the hearing of the word. It had nothing to do with the birth she was of. It had nothing to do with the line she was out of. It had to do that God made a promise to Abraham. Amen. I will make a covenant unto them that hear my word and believe my word. I will give unto them. That's the same thing he told Peter. Unto them, amen, I make this promise. I will give them the Holy Ghost. See, they're that seed line, a promise. Isn't it amazing that Jacob was born before Esau, but it didn't matter? matter. God didn't care because the promise meant more than the natural birth. The promise meant more than what order he was in or what line he was out of. Let me say something to you tonight. It don't matter where your mama and daddy come from. It don't matter where you come from. It matters whether God has put a gene seed down on the inside of you before the foundation of the world. You see, thank God that that gene seed is God's desire. If the deep call unto the deep, then there's got to be a deep to respond. Why is it that you desire God? That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? Because that's one thing the devil ain't been able to beat you out of, is your desire. When you were in trouble, you still desired God. When you were a drunk, you still desired God. Amen? Because there was something deeper in you than your natural birth and your natural lineage. It was that desire to serve God. Oh, I know what I'm talking about. I laid out behind a truck drunk and laying there and praying to God. And out there, I don't brag on that. It's a despicable thing. But I know good and well that some of these young people around this message, maybe they ain't even living right. But I know what's going on the inside of them. There's something down there calling for something greater that's on the inside. And I got good news to bring. There's a God that can meet that need. You see, that Brother Branham tells us something beautiful. And this is where predestination doctrine knocks the fire right out of the devil. Just blows him right away. As Brother Branham says, if that desire is in you, you ain't went too far yet. He said, you're not saved by your desire. You're saved by the desire of Almighty God. Then you didn't choose yourself, and I didn't choose myself. But Jesus said, you've not chosen me, but I did choose you. Amen. Then there's no quitting in you. There's no walking away in you. There's something in you that pulls you through every trial and every problem. It just keeps pulling on you. Keeps pulling on you because you can't get away from it. It's down on the inside of you. It's a desire that's come from God to serve God. You see, when that desire is down in there, that's called a gene seed. That's a gene that come from God before the foundation of the world. It's God's part in your life. Brother Bam said that gene is a soul that come from God before the foundation of the world. Isn't that powerful? Amen. Then that's not what you did or what I did. That is the sovereign election grace of Almighty God. That's over our life. No wonder he laughs at the devil when he says he's going to break you down or destroy you. And God just laughs and says, you can try it, but she's going to be a perfect bride. Because he's already put that seed in there. Now, isn't it amazing? If that seed is in there, then you're the gene seed. Now it's amazing because this is a place here, and I won't keep you too much longer, but I want to just say something here. This is a place where seems to be a lot of contention around the message of the hour concerning this area. Because some people say, well, you're the seed when you're born, and some people say you get the seed when you come to the altar or when you heard the word. Because you know good and well that the word is a seed. Is that right? According to the book of Luke, amen, Jesus said the very parable is the word is a seed. And the word was sown and it fell into some good ground. And it fell into some ground that was stony and some ground that had briars. And so it was a good seed. It was the word. It was the thing that created the heavens and the earth. And that word seed is the spoken word of God. That's the original seed. Is that right? That's the original seed. And that spoken word seed has to fall in the ground. Well, it's amazing because in Matthew, the 13th chapter, there's actually two parables. There's two parables of the sower. One of them in the parable, you're the ground and he's the seed. But go on to the next part of the parable and find out that there's a world that's the ground and you're the seed. Amen. So there is a word seed. And there is a gene seed. That's why in the spoken word original seed, Brother Ram preaches two portions of that to that tape. In the first morning's tape, he'll tell you the word is a seed. But in the evening tape, he's going to tell you there's got to be a womb to take that seed. And just like Isaiah said, a virgin will conceive, that was a seed word that was looking for a womb. But it wasn't till a woman named Mary was born that an angel could come to her and said, you're the seed that the seed's coming to. See, you are prepared ground from the foundation of the world. You couldn't come to that altar and receive nothing unless there's a seed in you. And this message wouldn't mean nothing unless there was a seed in you. But if there's a seed in you, then it's word to word. It's Christ to God Himself. It's Christ coming to His own seed. And when that word comes over your heart, there's something in you. Amen. Amen. You see, it's a word seed to a gene seed. And you're receiving that word that's down on the inside of you. Then according to Romans, the 8th chapter, them that He called, He justified. And to them that He justified, He's already glorified. So there's a predestinated seed upon the earth. And that seed is a ground. According to the book of Luke, it's a good ground. You know what good ground is? It's pre-prepared ground. Brother Branham said, watch, go out and throw a seed on the sidewalk or throw a seed on hard ground. Don't take nothing. But if you go out and prepare that ground before time and you put the right seed in it, you're going to get a crop. And he said, see, God prepared the heart of this bride from before the foundation of the world to take this seed in the last days. Brother, pre-prepared to take the seed of God. Amen. There's something on the inside of you. That's Jacob's desire, saying, I want that word. I want that Holy Ghost. I want that prayer. I want that experience with God. You see, that's calling for that life. Now, so let's just put it clear. You're God's property then. You're where this end time message is going to grow. This is the crop for the rapture. This is where the word seed is going to be planted. You belong to God. Amen. God has a previous claim on you. Before your mama thought of you, before your daddy thought of you, God already thought of you and wrote about you in the Bible. So when you came here, amen, God had a claim on your ground for this word. Now the devil got a hold of you and started planting his own ideas and putting his own life and his own seed, kind of like a man goes out and buys a field and he plans to plant a ground out there. And he says, well, you know, in 3 years I'm going to go out and I'm going to plant a good ground there and I'm going to buy me a new truck and I've got me a house, I built me a house and I'm going to get that ground right there is going to be my future. That ground's going to be the prosperities of my future. And he didn't plant it for 2 years. He was just letting it set to a certain time. Amen. And then the seed gets ready, and he goes out there to plant that ground, and come to find out, some old boys moved out there and built a little shack on it. He got dope growing out behind the house, got a moonshine still set up in another corner. He got tin cans everywhere and trash scattered everywhere. Amen. Now the guy, that his whole future is on this piece of ground. Now, is he just going to walk away and say, forget the future. Forget what I've planned. Forget what I've done. No, sir. Amen. If he has a previous claim, then he has a right to call the law and go down on that ground and say, you, mister, you take your nonsense and you get off of this ground. Amen. You see, then God has a right concerning to the scripture that he spoke of you before the devil ever knew you, before your mama ever knew you, before your daddy ever knew you. God knew you. And when you were born in this earth, all kinds of things were put in your life. But God said, this is my future. This is my future home. This is my future bride. This is where my word is going to be manifest. So you know what God did? He took that alcohol and that tobacco and that dope and all of those troubles. And he told the devil, let loose of him. Get off of my property. Oh, come on. You don't think God's just going to walk away from you and say, okay, devil, you can have them. No, sir. No, sir, not the God that I serve. He's not going to walk away from the devil. But he's going to say, you got to come off of that ground. You see, and God will make sure the law works for his own benefit. You know, in the Jubilee, the property in the Jubilee, that was all about property. Y'all know that. And every 50 years they sound the Jubilee trumpet. When that Jubilee trumpet sounded, the property went back to original owners. So whatever tribe or family that owned to, every 50 years it went back to that tribe and family. And they couldn't hold it. The only thing that could be held was what was in walled cities. Did you ever read that? If you sold a house in a walled city, you only have 1 year to redeem that house. After that, it had to stay in that city. But isn't it amazing that when God comes with Joshua to Jericho, that there's a walled city with a woman named Rahab in there. And according to law, she can't even come out of that city under Jubilee. Amen. So you know what God did? God went in there and knocked those walls down because that one belonged to Him. There was a desire in there to serve God. There was a desire in there for a token. And God knocked the walls down to get to that woman. And God will knock the walls down that the devil builds up in your life because inside of there is a seed. I want to serve God. I desire to serve God. He's the God of Abraham tonight. He's the God of Jacob tonight. He'll come right down in the midst of your heart and He can burn out every fetter and every trouble of your life and give you the power of God in your heart. God's in here tonight. I tell you how Brother Ram said it. He said, you heard me say it in the prayer line, Satan, take your hands off of God's property. I tell you, it's time to recognize you're God's property. It's time to recognize you're a son or daughter of God. You wasn't put here for the devil or the devil's tricks or the devil's ideas. You were put here for the message of the hour. This message claims you and it's come here to identify you. He said, Brother Wayne, how do I know I'm one of them? Do you have that desire? It's the only place the devil won't beat us. Because he can't get that desire out of us. Because our musicians come, I want to tell you a little story. I was over in Israel. I know I ain't told you this. I was over in Israel with Brother Tony, and we were down on a street. You've probably been to that street there where they sell all the goods and things. Ben Huda Street, maybe it is. You know how busy it is down there. I was sitting down there on that street and actually run into a brother from Norway on Jerusalem. I don't know how we seen him. There's 10,000 people out there. I'm walking by, and it was a brother coming walking by. And my wife was with me. I said, I know that guy. She said, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I know that guy. She said, Wayne Lawson, don't you say nothing to him. You don't know him. I said, I know that guy. She said, no, you don't. I said, yeah, I do. I said, hey, brother. He turned around and said, Brother Wayne. He was from Norway. He was right here in the streets of Jerusalem. But I knew him. So the next day, we was down on the street there. And there was a fella sitting down on the street, and he's playing a guitar, you know. And he's singing this song, I Can't Get No Satisfaction. I'm sure you heard it back. It's an American song years ago. I don't remember if it's rock and roll or blues or whatever it's called. But it's I Can't Get No Satisfaction. He's down there singing it like that. I just went and sat down to him and talked to him. I said, hey. I said, man, I heard you singing that song. I said, young man sitting there. And I said, do you ever sing music about the Lord being you're here in Jerusalem, you know? And he said, you mean Jesus? And I said, yeah. And he kind of, his whole attention turned. Now, you'd have to been there to see him. He's sitting there in a cut-off shirt and about 42 earrings around this side, you know, and pierced up this way and tattoos down this side. Now, that stuff used to scare me until I started understanding thirst. And then I found out generally the further off they are, the more thirsty they are. So don't ever let that discourage you. That's they're looking for something. And so I don't like it either, but I just be honest. I just sat down and talked to him, and I said, young man, wouldn't you want to sing for the Lord? And he said, well, he said, to be honest, he said, I'm not worthy to sing for Jesus. And I said, I understand that. I said, but would you want to? He said, yeah. He said, I'd like to. He said, but you see, he said, you'd have to know. He said, when I was a kid, he said, I grew up in a Christian home like you guys believe. And I said, you did? He said, yeah. He said, I went to church. He said, I gave my heart to the Lord. He said, then my mom and dad got divorced. He said, a lot of trouble coming to home. He said, next thing you know, he said, I was doing drugs and alcohol. And he said, I got away from the house. And he was living out somewhere out in an abandoned shed there with a half a dozen other young people. And they were just living like hogs back here, I guess. And here he was sitting here telling me this. And then he said something that almost broke my heart. He said, see, isn't it written in your scripture that if you've ever loved the Lord or anything like that and you go to the world, there's no blood left for you? And I said, well, it's only written that way if you're hearing the devil interpret it that way. Because that's not the way the scripture is written. The scripture is written to say that if you ever come into Christ, it would be impossible for you to ever come to Him again. Because you've already been brought in. In other words, that if a man or a woman is ever truly born again, it would be completely impossible for God to ever recognize you as a sinner again. There's no way for you to ever do your first works again. You can never be reborn again. And he said, well, he said, but I think that I kind of said, no, you wasn't reborn. I promise you, you didn't have a new birth. I promise you that. He said, how do you know I didn't have a new birth? I said, because you couldn't be living like you're living. He said, how can you prove it? So I just went real simple. I was wearing a shirt. I said, well, I'll tell you this. I'll just say it to you like this. If I had a cup sitting up here and I stuck my tie into it, and you couldn't see the ingredients, but it was liquid and it came out wet, and I said to you, I just put my tie in some bleach. And I pulled it out, and 2 days later you seen me and it looked just like this. You, whether you said anything to me or not, in the back of your mind said, well, that wasn't bleach in that cup. That wasn't bleach in that cup. And you said, well, Wayne, why would you say that? Because I know the power of bleach. And I know the power of this spirit under a new birth would never leave a man in that condition. He said, you mean there might be hope for me? I said, young man, I want to tell you something. If you desire to serve God, then that is the greatest hope you'll ever have. If there's something in you, there's a million people walking in this world right now that not have one desire to serve God. They don't want nothing to do with your Christian religion. But when, watch that young man. It's amazing to me. If you look at it, I was in Israel, and actually you've been there where they got them big old holes dug, and they're actually doing archaeology. And y'all seen the holes and how deep they are if you've ever been there. I looked over one of them holes and I said to the lady who was with me, I said, why is that hole so deep? She said, well, we're looking for who owns it. I said, what do you mean, who owns it? She said, do you see these levels right here? And I said, yes. She said, well, these levels are declaring the kingdoms of this land. She said, every time a new kingdom come in, she said, they smash the religious centers of the old kingdom and they build right on top of them. And when somebody else comes, they destroy it and they build right on top of them. She said, so what we're doing is we're going deep enough to find who's on the bottom. And she said, now whoever's on the bottom is the one that owns this land originally. Amen. And I had just heard that woman tell me that. And here I am over here with this boy. Amen. Where he's had levels. Amen. That's been built in his life from every kind of idea. Amen. But when we started digging, and we got to digging and digging and digging, you know what was in the bottom of that heart? Was, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve God. If there's a way, I want to do it. I said, young man, the blood of Jesus Christ is still wet tonight. Amen. He still has the power to save. If it's in your heart and you desire salvation, then there's a God that can save you. Then there's a blessing that can give you. Brother Bram said, you ain't went too far if you desire. He said, that's a surefire sign you have not went too far. And right there in the street of Jerusalem, we knelt down, brother. And he began to weep his way to Christ. Big old tear. I never talked to him again. Never seen him again. I don't know what his end was. Don't know what happened to him. But I know this. I found Jacob's desire right there in that heart. And I've seen that Jacob's desire in congregations and families all across the world. And wherever you find that desire, you're going to find someone that can receive Christ. That can receive God. I believe that desire is here tonight. That desire is in my heart. I don't know what your situation is, but if there's a desire in your heart tonight to serve the Lord, don't you let nobody, don't you let nothing, don't you let circumstances, family life, don't you let the problems of this life discourage you. I want you to know there's a promise concerning that desire. That God said, I have loved it. I have loved that desire. If that's in you tonight, God loves that desire. And He'll come to it. He'll give you that birthright. Can you stand to your feet with us tonight? Oh, how we desire Him. We desire Him to come by tonight. Lord, hear my prayer for more of You. That's right, it's more. this last Easter, I went down a year ago, went down to Ecuador, was with a Brother Lino down in Santiago. You know Brother Lino. Went down there, just a direct word from the Lord. You go to Brother Lino's and hold Easter meetings. So I emailed Brother Lino. I said, Brother Lino, I got it on my heart to come and see you this Easter. He said, Brother Lawson, you're welcome to come. We'll set up meetings. And so I got a plane, went down. We landed, took an interpreter, and started our meetings, and went through those services. And brother, let me tell you, the power of God coming nightly. That Sunday night, or Sunday morning, our last service, the Holy Spirit came in the building. And Brother Barry, you've been in them where you preached about the power and the realities of God. And we just made an altar call. I don't believe in pulling to an altar. Personally, I don't believe in that. Brother Bram said it'll make you 10 times harder to win to Christ. He said if there's something in your heart and you want to do it, he said then that's Christ leading you. But if a man stands and pulls you, that's just my thought on it. But I just had preached a sermon about the power of God through the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and I just told the congregation, there was a balcony full and people everywhere through the building, and I just said, you know, God always calls His disciples publicly. I said, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost this morning, won't you come? And my, the altars began to feel. Brother Barry, there was probably 2 deep all across the building, people praying for the Holy Ghost. And I thought, my, that's a lot of people. But then they started getting up and going back to their chairs, and people started coming and taking their place. It just was a powerful move of God. But, you know, it was an odd thing, because in the middle of that, I didn't feel like it was fulfilled. It's the oddest thing, because I told the interpreter when I left, I said, as good as that meeting was, you'd think I'd be satisfied. I said, but there's just something that I don't feel like's finished here with these meetings. And after the service, we were supposed to go get some chicken with Brother Lino down at a certain little restaurant. Well, when we went to his house, it come a typhoon. In South America, it can come a typhoon, let me tell you. And a typhoon comes, so it kind of pinned us in the house. And they said, Brother Wayne, instead of us going out in this kind of weather, so let's just send one of the brothers, and he'll go get a chicken and bring it back, and we'll just eat here at the house. I said, that'd be real good. And there was probably several of his grandchildren were there. And he was there, and some of his own children. Well, some of the girls that were there were not saved. It was pretty obvious, you know, just being around them, that they wasn't saved. But when I sat down at the table, Brother Lena was just sitting there, and he was talking, conversing with me. Well, there was just one young lady in her mid-20s probably, that she just kind of directed her attention right at me. And she just started asking me questions about the ministry and how the Lord had dealt with me, and had I seen miracles, and she had heard some testimonies of things that had happened in the country when I was there. And so she was just a little encouraged so she was just talking with me. Well, after a little while, there was a room full of people, so I said, well, I'll just maybe talk with someone else, and I turned my attention, but no more than I had, she just pulled me right back. So I thought, wait a minute, this is something beyond me. So I looked right directly at her, and I said, young lady, do you know the Lord? She said, no, sir. She said, I don't go to church here at all. She said, I'm not a Christian at all. She said, this is my granddad. She said, but my aunt, who lives up in Quito's, called me and said there was a brother preaching here this weekend. You said that I believe that he would help you in your life if you just go hear him. So she said, I just came specifically to this set of meetings to hear your testimony and what God had done for you, and to see if there was an opportunity for me. And she was sitting there talking to me like that. And after we fellowshipped a little while, and there was sitting in front of me an envelope that was just plain like this, that Grandma had given me. It was a 50th year picture of Brother Lino and his wife and their family, where they'd had their 50th anniversary. And she put it in the envelope, and it was just laying in front of me like that. And I was going to take it with me. Well, there was an ink pen laying right beside the envelope, just laying over like that. And I looked over at that young lady, and I said, young lady, what's your name? She said, well, my name is Katie. I said, how do you spell that? She said, K-A-T-T-Y. So I just pinned it down on the sheet of paper like that and underlined it. She said, well, why'd you write my name down on an envelope? I said, young lady, I said, I'm going to pray for you. I said, I'm going to pray for you. And I hadn't told this much, but I told her, I said, every time I bow my head, I'm going to ask God to fill you with the Spirit of God. And she said, all of a sudden, these big tears start rolling out of her eyes.
And I mean, she just pretty much lost it. And after a little while, I finally, when she slowed down, I said, What about that disturbs you so much? And she said, well, I said in your meeting this morning, he said, you said that God always calls his disciples publicly. She said, in my mind, I said, Lord, if you really want me to serve you, this man will call my name and offer prayer to me, and I'll never have to ask for prayer. And she said, that meeting was over. She said, you never spoke one word to me. You never said one thing. She said, when I come here tonight, I never thought to ever see you again in my life. She said, and I was sitting at this table, and you come in and sit down at the same table. Said, my hope started rising. She said, but when you just now looked across the table and said, young lady, I'm going to pray for you. She said, I knew that God was speaking directly to my heart. And all of a sudden, there was about 8 or 10 young people sitting around that table. Every one of them got up, and they come and stood by me and put their name on that envelope. And they said, Brother Wayne, will you pray for me? And I turned to look at Brother Lino. I said, Brother Lino, can we make your prayer, make this living room a prayer room? He said, Brother Lawson, this is your room. You do whatever you want with it. And one by one, we led them young people to Christ. The Holy Spirit come right in there and met those desires. I want you to know he's that same Jesus right now. Don't you let no spirit tell you that Jesus Christ is still not saving and giving you life and giving you heart. If you want him tonight, you desire him tonight, won't you just open up your heart and ask him to come on in? I'm not making an altar pull tonight. If you want to come, you're more than welcome to come, and we'd be glad to pray with you. If it's in your heart, you've not received the Holy Ghost and you desire to come and pray, you're more than welcome. But let's just take just a moment and invite the Holy Spirit if you desire him. Would it be somebody here tonight say, Brother Wayne, I want that Holy Ghost. I need it. I desire it. While we sing this song now, we'll give you just a moment. Oh, more of you. That's right. Oh, more of you. Had it all. That's right. It's more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty. Just bow our hearts now. Heavenly Father, Lord, you see the need tonight. You see the desire. Father, I just pray that you'd come to that need, to that desire. Father, you see the hearts. You see the lives. You see the troubles. You see the pains. And Lord Jesus, you remain the same tonight. And I want to thank you, Father, for the liberty that you've given us here. I want to thank you for the mercy, for the opportunity, Lord, to speak your name again. To stand before your people, Lord. Lord, and condemn the evil spirits that would try to, Lord, to knock away their faith and their belief in you. But Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight for a voice, Lord, for a voice to express the faith that we have in your saving power. The ability you have to meet desires of hearts. Now, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this congregation tonight. And we ask that you would bless them, everyone, giving them to their need. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. God richly bless you, friends. Would you come, Brother Barry?
I've had it all, but what I need is more.
It's already done. It's already done. I'm not sure what key we sing that in. It's already over. The battle's been won. That's it. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. It's already done. Yes, it's already done. Battle is over. Victory is won. It's already done. Sing it again now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's already done. Battle's over. Victory is won. Already done. One more time. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, it's already done. It's already done. It's over. Victory is won. It's already done. I believe that tonight. I believe that He's already won the battle for us. We don't have to bleed and die for our sins. That battle's already been won. He's won the victory. He's conquered death and hell and the grave. Your responsibility now is to accept that and to enter into that and to rest in His provision for us. It's already done. It's already over. But I don't know if there's somebody here tonight that might just have a desire and just say, Lord, I want to accept that and I want to enter into that rest. I want to have that peace that they're talking about tonight. You're welcome to come. We'd be glad to pray for you. But don't limit God. Whatever your need is tonight, our God is able. He's still Jehovah Jireh tonight. And He's won the battle over sickness and death and loneliness and fear and lust and everything else. It's already over. So whatever your need is tonight, if you want to be prayed for, you're welcome to come tonight. Sing it again now. Oh, it's all. Already done. It's already done. Praise the Lord. It is over. Victory is won. It's already done. It's not. It's not in running, but in resting. It's not in wandering, but in praying that we find the strength of the Lord. It's not in trying, but in trusting. No, it's not in wandering, but in praying that we find the strength of the Lord. Sing it again now. Oh, there's none but in trusting. Oh, it's not. that has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. He is our peace that has broken down. Thank you.
Oh,
just amazed at His grace, amazed at His mercy and His love, amazed at how patient He is with us. I'm amazed at how God took and saved us for the last age. I'm amazed at that. Us. Who would have thought of us? We don't think anything of ourselves, hardly. And yet God said, I'm going to save the best for last. I'm amazed. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed how you to praise Him. Amen. We have a lot of reasons to give our lives to Him for all of what He's done for us. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Sorry, I just can't find a place to quit.
All right.
What's the first words? Let's sing it. Bless oh my soul. His holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship. Let's lift it up one. Sing it again now. Oh, my soul, worship His holy. His holy name. there is none like you, and no one else can touch my heart like you do. Let's sing that tonight. We're going to dismiss you and let you go. If you want to sing and worship, we can do that a little bit more tonight. Let's sing it together. There's none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Feel like you've been in church today? Feel like you've been in church this week? It's been a good week. It's been a good day. There's nothing like getting into God's presence with God's people, hearing God's word, and just experiencing God's blessings as He pours them out. It's just a great thing. We've heard a lot of good things today. Heard a lot of good things tonight, and I really appreciate the word of the Lord, Brother Wayne, and speaking twice today like that, and we just appreciate that very much. I'm thankful. I'm glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad knowing the way the world's going and all of that happening around us here. Listen, I really believe what Brother Wayne said tonight. I believe that this is not just about, prophecies, but you're actually looking at the fulfillment of prophecies about this time. When you look at each other, you're looking at the fulfillment of God's word in this hour. And you should not think of yourself as just a human being on the face of the earth. You're a child of God that God chose to be in here in this last day, walking in the light and the fulfillment of the very thought of God that He had from before the foundation of the world. And He knew you'd be here, and He knew you'd be believing, and He knew you'd be worshiping God in spirit and in this truth. God knew that. What a blessed people we are. None like Him in the earth. God knew exactly what He was doing when He chose you. You knew exactly what you were doing when you chose Him. Even though you didn't really choose Him. God put something in you to choose Him. And to love Him and to serve Him and to worship Him. God knew exactly what He was doing, didn't He? What a blessed people we are. Let's sing this tonight a time or two. We're going to ask Brother Josh to close in prayer tonight. And may the Lord richly bless you. Will you remember me in prayer? I got to go right after this. We're going to leave for Ohio and go and pray for Brother Yeski. And just getting ready to slip out of this world and pass over into the next. Unless God does a miracle and touches him. And that's certainly within God's power to do that. But we just want to commit him to God and just ask God's will to be done in his life. So remember that in prayer, if you don't mind. We saw this afternoon the documentary about, what the price that people pay in a place like Turkey to live and exist and believe the message. And God's really blessed us in this country and in this place. To have what we have and enjoy what we enjoy. We're a blessed people. We really are. Sing it tonight. There is none like you.
God, we can say there's none like you tonight. Lord, we realize, God, that there's none, Lord, that could stand beside you. Lord, there's no God. There's none, Lord, even tonight as we think, Lord, of your greatness and, Lord, your majesty and your power, God. And Lord, to think that in all your greatness, Lord, you thought so much of us. Lord, that you had reached down your hand of mercy and God, you thought so much of us even this evening, God, that you had just passed by this way. Lord, even as you were here on earth and you were walking on the earth, but one day you told your disciples, I have a need to go by the way of Samaria. Lord, just to think that you had a need to go by that well because there was a woman with a desire in her heart. Lord, something that was calling to a deep. But Lord, I believe you had a need to stop by Hickory tonight. And Lord, we're just thankful, Lord, that you passed by this way. Lord, we're thankful for the people that's come tonight, Lord, and for our brother Wayne that's given himself once again. Lord, we just pray that you would renew his strength, Lord. Lord, we pray for this body of believers here, the local body, God. We just ask that you'd bless this church, bless this congregation. Bless the pastor, Brother Barry, as he labors, God. I pray that you'd give him fruit and for his labor, God. I pray that you would just, Lord, just add to the body and just, Lord, give revelation like never before. Pour yourself out, oh God. Open up your word, Lord. Lord, for we have a great desire for that. Lord, we just ask that you'd go with Brother Barry as he goes to Ohio to pray for this brother. Lord, may your perfect will be done. Lord, not only that, but as we all leave tonight, Lord, we just ask that you would go with us and give us traveling mercy and grace. And Lord, as we depart from this place, may it not be out of your presence. Lord, we just ask that you'd go with us and be with us. We love you, Lord, from the bottom of our hearts. We thank you and give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. For you alone are worthy. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Tonight. Brother Wayne, thank you for coming, and may the Lord richly bless you, give you some rest. Amen. Thank you all for coming tonight. May God bless you. I feel like going home. I feel I feel